Let's bring in Jonathan Ryan now. He's a lawyer who heads the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, or REISES, founded in 1986 to help Central Americans fleeing civil war and now working with the children arriving across the border. And Jonathan, you visit the emergency shelter at Lackland Air Force Base, where more than 1,000 children are waiting transfer to relatives or sponsors in the U.S. What's it like there?
We've been going there for about 4 weeks now, and you see children playing board games, watching World Cup matches. They're outside playing soccer and basketball, going to classes for English, also talking to counselors there and talking to us doing our work.
Well, we want to hear what they tell you. Right now, we know under existing U.S. law, unaccompanied children from Mexico have to be sent back to parents immediately. But these kids are from non-contiguous states, Honduras, Guatemala. And under existing law, they have to be sheltered for 3 days, then reunited either with caregivers at home or sponsors here, and then considered for asylum. You give them a Know Your Rights presentation. What do you tell them?
We explain to the kids the nature and the purposes of the deportation proceedings that they are going to be facing. We also explain to them their responsibilities that continue after they leave the shelter, to let them know that the court case will continue even though they have been allowed to stay with their family. And we also try to give them some information about the various humanitarian forms of relief that they may qualify for.
But these are, how old are these kids?
Some of them can be as old as 17, but some of them are as young as 3-4 years old.
How do you talk to, I would think an older teen might not understand some of this legal language. Are they shocked, first of all, the older ones, that there is all this legality? Because we understand some of them thought this was just going to be an entrance to a country that was going to welcome them.
I wouldn't say that I've talked to any kids who have thought that they were going to find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. I think that they understand pretty well that it is a difficult process. We know our administration's been deporting more people back to these countries than in our country's history. So they've seen with their own eyes people returning on the deportation flights. I don't think that they need to rely on rumors that are spread by smugglers or others. That's always been the case.
Well, let's pick up there, because as you well know, critics of the president say that this influx now is the result of his failed policies, including the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals of 2012, which gives temporary and other legal status to children who were brought to the U.S. by their parents. It was supposed to just apply to young people who'd lived here for years. Are you hearing these children say that they think it also applies to them, which is what the president's critics are saying?
You might be surprised to learn that these children are not looking at their smartphones following the latest in legislative updates. Mm-hmm. They are, on the whole, relatively clueless to our politics. And I've not heard any express that they think that they are going to qualify for DACA.
Why are they here? Is it because a smuggler told them that they would be received well? Is it because, as the president's supporters are saying, of the violence and gang warfare in their homeland? Why? What are they telling you?
You hear stories of young boys, and it's so common, that once they hit the age of adolescence, they come to the attention of the local gangs. They tattoo them, they claim them, so that they cannot be claimed by the rival gang. Children are forced to decide whether they will join the gang, or if they will be killed by the gangs, or if they'll get out. And a lot of the young people who we are working with are those who managed by hook or by crook to get out and to make their way to somewhere where they think that they can be safe and where they think they can get protection. We talk to girls who also, once they reach tender ages of 9, 12, 13, become claimed effectively by gang members as their property. And they manage to be smuggled out and try to make it here to where they can be free.
Well, Jonathan, what happens now? Because you have this talk of sending more of them back. But again, talk about the existing law. What do you see happen to these kids when they find either family here in the U.S. or sponsors here in the U.S.? What happens? Are they returning to their home country under existing law? What happens?
More than 90% of the children who are in the Health and Human Services shelters are reunified to a family member or some sponsor who will take custody of them. Once they're released, then it's the responsibility of the child to request that the immigration court proceeding, which will be begun in the city where they were apprehended, is moved to the city where they live.
So the burden is on the children to continue the asylum process once they are sent out to either sponsors or family in the U.S.?
That's right. Once the child is released, it's the child's responsibility to organize the change of the court venue to their new city. It's the child's responsibility to seek an attorney or a representative to represent them. The fear is unimaginable.
Yeah.
We see children showing up to the court dockets literally shaking. We see images of those brass-buttoned, leather-bound court chairs with the big immigration prosecutor on their side and a little head that barely peeks up over the brass buttons on the other side. And the judge is asking the child just to state the child's name. And there's the child looking left and right, not even knowing if they have the permission to answer the judge. In this country, we do not provide assigned counsel to immigrants in removal proceedings. We attempt to fill that gap by providing representation. Or for those kids who are reunified around the country, we make every attempt to match them with pro bonos who are in their cities.
Jonathan Ryan, Executive Director of the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, or REISES. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.